You are listening to the Essence of Change podcast, a conversation where transformation happens, with your co-hosts Omar Ben Musa and Dr. Keith Blevins. Here is the fifth episode.
Hello and welcome everyone. This is a new episode of the Essence of Change podcast with your co-host here, Omar Ben Musa, joined by my co-host, Dr. Keith Blevins. Hello, Keith.
Hi. Hi there. So nice to be here.
As always, today's topic is a really interesting one. The topic today is how knowing the difference between the brain and the mind could improve your mental health. This is quite an interesting topic because, like, we usually confuse the brain and the mind. We think they are the same, but they are completely different. And as Mr. Sydney Banks used to say, that the mind is biological and tangible, but the brain is tangible and could be touched, but the mind is spiritual and has no form. Like we were discussing earlier, me and Dr. Keith, that like really understanding the difference between the brain and the mind could help us live a beautiful life and in harmony, because what we see in the world of psychology now is something to do with the brain. The mind is missing there, and when the mind is missing in psychology, there is no mental well-being. There is no, it's like tackling the outside problem, forgetting the roots of the problem, the cause of the real problem, like, getting a headache and, you know, taking a pill for that. It's not going to, tackle the roots of the headache, but it might temporarily make you feel good. Right.
Exactly.
And so really understanding the difference between the brain and the mind is, you know, tackling the root instead of, you know, like what we see is the problem.
Mm, exactly. I think that's a really powerful thing. Like when I first, one of the first things that I heard from Sydney Banks was just the, you know, almost, he was almost casual about it. He said, the mind is not brain. Mind is not brain. Excuse me? You know, like it was like, well, what is it? Like I, you know, it led to an inquiry rather than because the equation, in my mind and in my training, mind and brain were used interchangeably. They were the same. They weren't absolutely completely different. And Sid Banks knew and saw that they were and commented on it and kept commenting on it. But that really shocked me, because I had to logically separate mind from brain and see what might we, because the physical has so dominated our paradigm, our inquiry, our minds. We were looking for an answer in the physical, and with a total complete ignorance of the spiritual relationship of the physical to the physical. And that's been the bane of human existence from the beginning. It's like looking in the wrong place for the answer. You know, like I don't know if you have seen this movie, but this is a popular movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Indiana Jones is looking in this tomb, And he has a the Nazis are there. They're trying to find this the Ten Commandments, you know, and so, but they're looking for it with a with a stick that's too short. And so when they find the map room, the Nazis don't have, because in the little insignia, this little tiny little thing says, look here, and then you flip it over, and on the other side, which the Nazis didn't have, it says, plus take one cubit or something like that away of, in honor of God. And so they were looking, the Nazis were looking for the answer with a stick that was too tall, too long. And Indiana Jones had both sides of that little answer. And so when he used that, he found the tomb. So it's just a simple movie example, but it's just like a little, just that one little thing meant so much. And this little thing of that the mind and brain are separate means a level of inquiry that we've never really had to, we've never been able to bring to bear to our science of the mind and consciousness and thought has not been possible because we've not had a paradigm, a truth, a model of an organized order of the scientific place that mind has in the human race. It has a wonderful place, but it's been ignored because we've been looking elsewhere.
I love what you just mentioned, Keith. And like to me, the brain, like the way I see it, really is the brain is the form, and so it's finite. It has an expiry date, right?
Right.
Whereas the mind is the infinite, is permanent. The mind is where all the answers we are looking for resides, really. And like the way I see it is like when I'm stuck, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to get unstuck and I'm using my brain for that. And so it's like I'm limiting myself to you know, it's like a computer without a Wi-Fi. I could use everything, every app I have on my computer, but it might not get me unstuck or fix my problem. And so just realizing that I'm not the brain and I am mind. And it's infinite, and I could have access to that any given moment. The moment I let go of what I know, the brain is limited to what I know about everything in life. And so when I give up that, I get in touch with my unlimited potential mind. And there I could see what I could do about that problem. And then it doesn't seem problematic anymore because, you know, for the brain, there are a lot of problems. But for the mind, it's just a different way to see that. It's just it's made up of our thought. Transcending, you know, transcending from the brain to the mind is really a beautiful experience to have. because you just you just realize your true potential, and that you are not limited as you think you are. And you are that which is infinite. It's quite amazing, Keith. It's quite amazing. And so, like, there is something that I want to explore with you today is something to do with a new article that's been released in July, the 20th of July, about the serotonin theory of depression. That's the title, a systematic umbrella review of the evidence. And in this article, it's mentioned that that depression is not related to a chemical imbalance in the brain. And it has nothing to do with the level of serotonin. And that's a really an amazing breakthrough in the world of psychology, because, you know, like we've been conditioned or we've been believing for ages that it's, you know, depression is caused because we have chemical imbalance. And so that's why the antidepressants were created in the first place to tackle that. And we could see the effect of antidepressants that make people, it might be helpful, but it doesn't leave the person in a good, healthy state. Right. So what do you, I'm sure you've read the article. So what do you think about this breakthrough and how it could relate it to today's topic?
Well, it's another kind of a verification or a validation of the principles of mind, thought, and consciousness, because when you eliminate something, in which they have done with this research, which was over decades of studies. There's a large umbrella verification. And if you know that mind is not brain, then the fact that they haven't been able to find this culprit of depression in brain chemicals, then of course they haven't been able to find it, because it's not there. It's not in, they're looking in the wrong place for that answer. And and for many people, I think it will be, for many people that understand that mind is not brain, just that simple statement, mind is not brain. They're different. They're of a different, you might say, logical type. They're a different one, a different order, a different dimension. There's the brain dimension, the physical dimension, and then the mind dimension, which is beyond time, space, and matter. It's not a dimension of matter. Brain is matter. It's material. I've held a brain in my hand. In my undergraduate anatomy class. But
you've never held a mind in your hand.
I'm in the mind's hand, you might say. But they're different. If you can pull them apart and see that they're just different, then this evolution of mind science or consciousness science or thought science could really blossom. But as long as it's been tied to an ignorance, a misunderstanding, it's a misunderstanding. Nobody to blame for it. It's just human ignorance. We have not had the wherewithal, the respect, the consciousness. We haven't had the consciousness to see consciousness, to see mind, to see thought as spiritual, not brain-based, not physical, not matter. So mind is not matter. And that is, that's a simple, but it's a simple, like I often think of, I don't know why I think of this, but I think of like a decapitation. When you bring a sword to something, you bring something that severs. And if you can logically sever brain from mind, then you can think about brain, and neurologists do. And there's a lot going on that is wonderful about brain science, about body science, about, I mean, look at all the advancements in medicine, et cetera. It's been tremendous, absolutely phenomenal. But that's not the same as mind. And if you can separate those fields, like in my graduate studies, in the Department of Psychology, somehow we were more linked to neurology than to religion. So if you wanted to, it was very common to do internships in neuropsychiatric hospitals. I did my own internship in a neuropsychiatric hospital, but I wouldn't have done an internship in a, in a religious department, because that was across campus. And I'm not saying spirituality is religion either. I'm saying spirituality is also different from religion. So the mind being separate from, it's what religion has tried to grasp, but it in and of itself, it's gotten lost in the forms, in the separate forms of religion. Spirituality goes beyond religion, and it goes beyond brain. And so, no judgment about neurology, no judgment about religion, but spirituality and the three principles are separate from those studies and separate from those interests. And we have just not had a respect for that, a foundation of that as a logic to operate from. And now we do. And as that gets imbued and embedded in the fields, then it's going to create a lot of a tremendous amount of energy and interests are going to be unleashed, because it'll be untethered from this ignorance and these links that have been, they're not really true. We've been linked to a false paradigm, a misunderstanding.
And it is because of this misunderstanding that we see different types of mental illnesses and diagnoses. And to me, the mind is the source of the brain. Like, you cannot have a brain without mind, right? It's what brings it to life, the water that brings the tea to life. I see the mind is that which brings the brain to life. And you know, you mentioned something really interesting about that spirituality is different than religion. And to me, spirituality is the water as well to the religion, to every religion, really. It brings mm-hmm. the religion to life. It gives it you know, a different taste. And in my experience, when I came across the three principles understanding, my relationship to my religion has changed and deepened. And I see God. I feel that, you know? Whereas before, I used to have all these ideas and, you know, projecting what I think what God is, and we cannot really picture that. And so this is also the limitation of the brain. So really letting go of our thinking using our brain, we fall into that space. We are back to in touch with mind, and there we could see things clearly. There we could find mental well-being. There we could be joyous. There we could connect with people on a deeper level. There is love, impersonal love.
It's these, you know, these impersonal principles that provide a different context for, you know, our emotions or our desires, our habits, our insecure patterns of behavior, personality traits. They're all byproducts of mind, consciousness, and thought. They're not there. So to get that order correct, so that you see the byproducts and then you see the principles, then you see the foundation, and then the building blocks. But you see it in the scientific order of behavior and thought. So without these principles, you're devoid. You're lost. You're not really able to really understand this divine order. So you're and their relationship to the senses, like without our five senses, to us reality wouldn't exist. But this is what turns psychology from a philosophy into a logical science, a logical, practical, working science. So it incorporates the senses without being relegated to the senses. So high self-esteem or low self-esteem, these are feelings, and the feelings always are derived from these same three principles. So no one on earth could function outside of these three principles, mind, thought, and consciousness. As a matter of fact, how we survey reality itself is a direct result of how we use these three primary principles. So the study of human beings and their relationship to all of our fields of study has been belief bound and not principle based. That's why what you have to try and realize is this isn't an evaluation or a judgment or saying that anybody's right or wrong. It's or your thoughts are right or wrong. It's saying is, where does it stem from? What's the order? How does it work logically? And it's up to you personally how you use these principles. That's what you call your free will. So your free will is this ability to use these divine principles in the way that you, in whatever way you want. but it's the principles, the use of those principles with our free will that that take our five senses and put life into them. Because without those three basic principles, there's no realization of life itself. You'd have no feelings, no experience. You'd be void of consciousness and void of the power of thought. It's what we would call logical cause and effect. So it's really simple. It's ultimately simple, but it's correct. And it gets the order straight. Like if we've been exploring and thinking and searching and we haven't known the super order of this logic of life, then we've been lost. And so this article that you're mentioning about serotonin is just another example. Of all things considered, you'll see it, any field that doesn't have the principles which molecular psychiatry, this study was published in molecular psychology, you'll see that the science is not there. Well, of course it's not there because it doesn't have this principle-based instrument, you might say, to logically order the search. If we'd have had that, then I don't know about you, but when I read this article, there's a kind of a thing that occurs to me is, of course, it's not really in the brain. The answer to depression is not in brain chemicals, or it's not in brain, period, without the mind. The brain without mind is lost. And so we've got a new era dawning for psychiatry and psychology. And not only that, for understanding ourselves and understanding our experience and understanding our habits and our fears and our doubts and our jealousies, instead of focusing in on those things and finding the history of them, we've got a new way to not get lost in the woods of those trees.
Would you say that there would be no brain without mind? Not because this is how I see it. There would be no brain without mind. Mind is the formless energy behind everything, and the brain is the form, and the mind is the formless, but they are both one and the same on a deeper level. So it's really understanding this on a deeper level, not on what we see, but beyond what we see, beyond what we think. And for me, the three principles is transcending from brain to mind, to see things from a higher perspective. And actually, this study is a huge breakthrough for people to realize that, you know, like it's not something to do with like with us innately. That's we are not broken within, but it's just a misunderstanding of how the mind works. And psychology right now is having all these different theories that really bring about that, you know, like there is something to fix. And there is really nothing to fix from a higher perspective, because we are deeply, innately okay. And we could only see that when we really understand the difference between brain and mind, and that we are not the brain.
Beautiful. And this kind of conversation, you know, has been lacking, you know, because of the rigor of the principles and how the principles fit in this great logic of life and mental life and how it works. No one has been able to really defend that position or illuminate it. And Sidney Banks did so remarkably out of an enlightenment experience. So it comes from, it's a dramatic innovation, a dramatic illumination of the of humanity's relationship to the divine, without which is what religion has often, of course, tried to speak to, but now it could be spoken to everywhere. It has no, it's not a religion bound message. It's beyond religion too, which is a wonderful thing. It's not an anti-religion or an anti-brain thing. It's a pro-principles comprehension, just like you said. And so all these religious forces can, there's a super organization now that will, and a unity thereby, and a respect, and a,
it brings psychology and spirituality together, really, which is missing in the world of psychology right now.
Because we've never had principles,
right?
It's been separate fields: religion, anthropology, psychiatry, psychology. It goes on and on and on. Physics.
But they are all connected. Like when we when we see that in like the three principles really connect the dots to every other field out there. Like we see quantum physics linked to, you know, to our consciousness and to life and to everything, really. Religion, you know, psychology, philosophy, it just makes sense. It's the same as you know, when Copernicus came and you know, and he shared that planet Earth is spherical.
Right. Yeah, and that it's not the center of even the solar system.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And suddenly the math starts making sense and physics starts making sense and everything fell into place. So really understanding how something works makes it easy to it makes our life easy. It makes us not create a problem for ourselves.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, it addresses that sense of incompleteness. It answers the questions. And so the incompleteness, the insecurity, the feeling of discord that has been worldwide for millennia is going to die down, and people will find the truth without fear. And so those insecurities will die, and in the center of this cosmic consciousness that we call God will be the common experience of all of humanity. And we'll be all become, without prejudice, brothers and sisters. And so we're not at odds with one another. We're at peace with one another. And it's that at peace that is a product of this order being realized, recognized, and I think you've seen it, and I know I've seen it too, and we know many thousands of other people that have seen it, that it gets, like you said earlier, it gets us unstuck from the personal. There's something about the impersonal nature of the principles that, and our relationship of free will to that, that really that calms it calms the savage beast within us. You know, it calms the reactive, judgmental, fearful, doubtful, misunderstanding that we all fall prey to, and heals.
It is really indeed a place of healing. I would love to finish this beautiful conversation with the quote by Rumi, saying that we are not a drop in the ocean. We are the entire ocean in a drop.
Beautiful.
And separation is an illusion.
Thanks for listening. If you want to get a deeper understanding of what's behind lasting change and share this in your practice and with your clients for a deeper impact, Dr. Blevins and Omar are running the Essence of Change program on January. For more information, please send us an email at info@omarbenmoussa.com.